You're listening to a 3CR podcast recorded in the 3CR Community Radio Studio in Melbourne, Australia. If you like what you hear, please consider donating or subscribing so we can keep bringing you more independent community content. For more information, go to 3cr.org.au.
This is David Rovics and you are tuned to 3CR, 8:55 a.m., Melbourne, Australia. Step three is finding there's a tactic when everyone believes it could be true. That if all the people work collectively, there just might be something we can do, and everything can change.
Welcome to the Climate Action Show on the Community Broadcast Network. I would like to acknowledge and pay respect to the people of the Woiwurrung and Boonwurrung language groups of the Eastern Kulin Nations on whose unceded lands the 3CR studios stand, respectfully acknowledging their ancestors and elders, past and present. We also acknowledge the traditional custodians and the ancestors of the lands and waters across Australia where our broadcast reaches. We acknowledge that there will be no climate justice without First Nations justice. Whether you're listening on the 855 AM dial, on Radio Skid Row, or on the Community Radio app, thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Climate Action Show. My name is Shay and I'm your host for today. In June of this year, Comms Declare published a report titled From Cradle to Career, which looked into the influence and sponsorship of major coal, oil and gas corporations in childhood settings such as schools, museums, sporting clubs, scholarships and career pathway programs. It identified approximately 260 publicly documented programs, partnerships, sponsorships and other initiatives through which major fossil fuel companies, including Woodside, Shell, Chevron, Santos, BHP and Glencore, engage with Australian children and young people. It's the first national report exposing the marketing of these companies in these kinds of settings, and it found that policy loopholes are allowing private companies to reach our kids in these places. So we're going to be hearing from representatives from both Comms Declare and Parents for Climate about this report, but first I just wanted to outline some of the report's major findings. As I said, they found more than 260 cases of fossil fuel company influence in childhood settings. One of those is Shell's sponsorship of Queensland Museum. So Shell sponsored activities which encourage students to design industry-preferred technological responses, such as carbon capture and storage systems, but gave very little attention to fossil fuel phase-out pathways, emissions reduction strategies, or the broader political and economic dimensions of energy transition. Similarly, there are some not-for-profit organisations which hold major sponsor relationships with companies like Chevron, Santos and Woodside, and they have resources that provide students with a detailed overview of sea level rise, coastal erosion, and increasing threats to communities and infrastructure. These resources, however, focus primarily on the consequences of climate change and adaptation-related challenges. Comparatively, less attention is devoted to fossil fuel production and use, emissions reduction pathways, or broader mitigation strategies. So in a way, what this does is sort of foster a form of selective blindness to the climate crisis and its causes. There are also certain teacher development charities which hold financial partnerships with major coal and energy companies. And Woodside also funded classroom science activities relating to oil and gas exploration. One activity invited students aged 8 and 9 to model offshore drilling processes using bread, Vegemite and sprinkles while learning about oil exploration and extraction. Woodside also sponsors the Nippers Junior Surf Lifesaving Program in Western Australia. Children participating in Nippers receive uniforms, hats and equipment displaying Woodside branding. And these are just a few of the examples. Comms Declare have pointed out that this kind of influence is, and I quote, not traditional advertising, but rather an undocumented system of influence that allows fossil fuel companies to borrow the authority of trusted institutions and trusted adults during some of the most formative years of a child's life. Instead of encountering these companies as advertising or marketing, children see them through teachers, museum educators, sporting coaches, community leaders, and education materials. This helps build social acceptability for an industry whose products are driving climate change and harming public health. Earlier in the week, I spoke with Belinda, the president and founder of Comms Declare, the organisation responsible for the From Cradle to Career report, and here's that interview now. Take me through the process of undergoing this investigation. What sort of initiated it?
We've been looking at fossil fuel advertising for a while as a climate communications charity, and we knew that there were, some pretty egregious examples of fossil fuel companies targeting children, mainly through STEM programs. And then we saw, we did a bit of digging into Queensland Museum and found that they had a whole program of educational materials aimed at children that were sponsored by Shell. So following on from that, we thought, well, it's time to do a national look. And it had never been done before. So this is the first time a group's actually looked at the whole picture nationally about how fossil fuel companies are targeting children, not just through education, but also through sport, through museums, through mentoring programs and scholarships.
Mm-hmm. And what were the main findings?
Well, what we found is that the fossil fuel industry is potentially reaching millions of Australian children through more than 260 programs across every stage of childhood. So, oil and gas companies, are sponsoring climate education, which is like, a tobacco company giving cancer advice. And what we're not doing is ensuring that children are receiving accurate, independent education free from corporate influence. These private companies are being able to reach children with, biased information, incomplete information about really important issues like climate change and the energy transition.
Mm-hmm. And how long has it been going on for? And I know this, you said this is the first report that's been done, but did you find it had been sort of extending for years or...?
It certainly has been going for a long time. We've looked at, I think it's the last 6 years, but it's definitely going before that. I mean, you think about towns, particularly coal towns, places like Newcastle, coal companies have been doing, sponsoring community events and sponsoring schools and so forth in those towns, as long as they've been extracting coal. And then more recently, the gas industry as well has been ramping up its activities. But in the past, we had Chevron used to sponsor the Australia Day Committee. I mean, that was only stopped like 2 years ago. There was two fossil fuel companies that sponsored programs at the National Science Museum in Canberra. So, yeah, it's been going for a long time. It's just no one's looked at it as one system before. People have just been seeing it as a lot of separate examples, whereas we say this is a systematic attempt to create social license by climate polluters.
Mm. And what are sort of some of the specific, messaging that they've been getting across? I assume it's not just sort of a no strings attached kind of funding. Is there sort of certain ways that they're influencing climate change education?
There certainly is. As I said, we found 260 documented programs and sponsorships run or funded by fossil fuel companies and industry bodies that were reaching children aged 0 to 18. And those include, for example, education providers, teacher education programs. So this is a fossil fuel company sponsoring a program where teachers receive information about how to enrich science education. Mm-hmm. So we've also seen examples where fossil fuel companies co-fund the entire education program for some regions of Australia. So how are they influencing the education? What they're doing is showing a very narrow view of climate change. They're positioning it in certain ways which protects their interests as the polluters. And they do that through the framing of climate change as being an issue of personal responsibility, as being something that communities should face, as being something that can be fixed with technical solutions, but they're not framing it as a way, in the way that coal and gas needs to be phased out. They're not painting themselves as the climate villains that they are, obviously. So just to wrap up, the education materials that are sponsored by fossil fuel companies have a very narrow framing of climate change as a personal problem, not as something that they, the fossil fuel companies, are causing and creating and can stop.
Mm. And I found it interesting, the report sort of detailed how it has a lot more impact because it's not like it's, you know, advertising where people can recognize exactly what a company's messaging is, but it's in a way that it's delivered through trusted educations and through teachers and museums and these kind of places that children really like look to for superiority, I guess. What's the sort of like excessive impact that this is having on children, especially as their minds are developing?
Well, that's right. I mean, children under the age of 6 can't really distinguish advertising messages or propaganda from facts. You know, they're little sponges. They take in everything. And so when, you know, a teacher or when they go to a museum gives them this information, they're going to take it as fact. You know, they're not going to realize that it's being framed in a certain way, that it's tainted by corporate interests. And the effect on that is that, you know, children obviously are receiving incomplete information about one of the biggest issues that they will face in their lives, which is a warming planet. It's extremely concerning. And that's why we say there needs to be a Senate inquiry to look at how children are being impacted, because no one's looked at that before, you know. People have just seen this as, oh, it's nice, the company's giving us some money, or they're giving us some educational materials that we can provide and make our jobs easier. They're not seeing it as marketing, as propaganda, which is what it is.
And I also found it interesting that there was a bit of an interrogation into how it's not just sort of shaping children's perception of climate change as being something that's quite individual, but it's also sort of shaping their sense of belonging. I know there was Woodside sponsored a Nippers program, and this kind of like Nippers is sort of a place where children feel like they belong and they get to like hang out with their friends and do sort of something quite active. And I would imagine that in these sort of communities where there is a lot of, or like a big extractive industry, that these companies are really trying to shape the sense of belonging that residents feel there. And I think that that would have more of an impact, because I guess if you sort of had this science-based information that climate change is caused by sort of more individual actions, that's kind of easier to unlearn and I guess re-educate yourself on than what a real sense of belonging is. So is there sort of something in that as well that you would say that's kind of a bit harder to, I guess, interrogate and look into the impact of?
That's such a great point. And in places like Western Australia is absolutely the worst case, where their entire Nippers program, the entire state Nippers program, is sponsored by Woodside. The kids forced to have Woodside logos all over their bodies just to learn about how to be safe at the beach. And of course, that is a core activity. My kids went to Nippers. That's, you know, it's a core community building activity. But not only that, when they go to the Science Museum, you know, the theatre's sponsored by Chevron. Or when they go into the Children's Hospital, there's a ward sponsored by Santos. It's everywhere. And it creates an environment where you cannot criticize fossil fuels, even though the science tells us we have to stop burning it really, really quickly. These companies basically need to go out of business. But you can't say that, you know. Politicians won't say it. No one will say it. No one will criticize fossil fuels. And, you know, this is the kind of the evil genius of the marketing, if you like. It's deeply, deeply embedded in states like Western Australia. And it creates this environment where, yeah, to say something bad about an oil company is sort of socially unacceptable.
Yeah, it's just crazy. I mean, this kind of tactic has been going on for so long, especially making people feel like they're individually responsible for their own carbon footprint, when fossil fuel oil gas companies are just, you know, that their impact is so extreme. But it's so sad to think that it's embedded that deep in children's education, because children's education should be something that we, you know, treat so sacredly. And it just seems like this kind of funding, yeah, I can't really believe it's taking place. But the report also identified that the blame, you know, shouldn't be placed on these kind of schools and education programs that's receiving this funding, because a lot of the time they need financial support. So what would you say is sort of some suggested transition pathways away from this? How do we sort of address that kind of, yeah, financial aspect of it?
Yeah, I think the first thing to mention is that, you know, we absolutely don't want to criticise individual teachers or schools or, you know, museums that are scraping for money, for taking this money. Mm-hmm. You know, they're in a system that's not of their making. It's, you know, it's just the reality that we all live with, that, you know, schools are underfunded and museums are underfunded. Having said that, we did do polls, which found that the vast majority of parents and grandparents, or 87% indeed, want educational programs to be funded by governments, mm-hmm. not fossil fuel corporations, and 58% support complete bans on fossil fuel advertising. Mm-hmm. In terms of the pathways away, we think that's something that a Senate inquiry really needs to look into. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, we've got the example of tobacco advertising, which was banned. People were saying that the world was going to end when we banned tobacco advertising, particularly sports bodies. They said, we're all going to, you know, where's the money going to come from? We're all going to go broke. Surprise, surprise, that didn't happen. Mm. There are other advertisers out there. There are other sources of funding out there. It's just a matter of weaning ourselves off. Just like we need to wean ourselves off coal and gas, you know, mm-hmm. it's part of the entire transition. And this is an underlooked, you know, underappreciated part of the transition, that it's not just about stopping coal and gas, it's about stopping the mindset that we need it.
Yeah.
You can't do that while these guys are advertising and sponsoring our schools and museums.
Mm, especially from such a young age as well. So what would a Senate inquiry kind of look like?
Well, look at the scale, the nature and the impact of fossil fuel industry engagement with children and young people. Because what we've done, we've just been taking from what we can find on the internet. There's very little transparency around these agreements, you know, zero transparency around the amounts of money involved. So we don't really even know how big this problem is. We don't really know how children are being impacted. And then it could look at these pathways away from fossil fuel funding, you know, look at the current agreements and arrangements, identify options for strengthening governance, transparency and accountability.
And what are sort of some of the things that maybe listeners can do to engage with this a bit more to get that Senate inquiry underway?
Great question. So Parents for Climate have a petition on their website. So I'll give you the link for that. Hopefully you can include that in your show notes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There will be a vote on this, we believe, next week.
Mm-hmm.
So if you know any Labor senators, please send them an email and tell them you support a Senate inquiry.
Mm-hmm.
There are two ways of doing it at the moment. But I just want to also say that there are some examples in Victoria, even though Western Queensland are the sort of the biggest, most infiltrated states. We found, for example, a primary school that ran an educational day where gas companies, including the Australian Gas Infrastructure Group, came in and put the kids in high-vis little vests with their logos all over it and talked about how safe gas is. There's a kids safe home safety checklist that we found that was sponsored by Exxon. And then there's another program called the AMPOL Best All-Rounder, which is where AMPOL gives money to schools and students, which includes gift cards to spend at AMPOL gas stations. And also the Loyang coal plant does quite a few grants to schools and so forth around the Latrobe Valley. So it is something that is affecting Victorians as well.
Do you sort of expect it to kind of increase into these states that aren't as infiltrated like WA and Queensland?
I really hope not now with light on it. In a perfect world, we do get this Senate inquiry. We get a proper view of what's actually going on, and we can call in, the companies and ask them, what's your budget for these things? What's your actual aim in doing this? You know, what are you getting out of it for these tens of millions of dollars? Because they are spending tens of millions of dollars, and presumably they're not doing that for no reason. They want some sort of return from that. What return are they expecting? So if we can get the Senate inquiry, find the answers and plot a way forward, that would be the ideal.
Is there any kind of estimated returns that you think they might be getting? Like, do they have certain influence in controlling what education is not happening at the moment, or is that sort of something only a Senate inquiry can really determine?
We can't get access to the agreements. I've used freedom of information requests. We get them and they're redacted. We can't find out what the fossil fuel companies are actually hoping to get in return. We imagine it is just good PR. So we did get one, for example, Santos has a general community grants program that anyone can apply for online. And as part of that, they do ask the question of people they're giving money to, how is this project going to make people feel better about Santos and the gas industry? That's actually part of the application process. So we're imagining it's that kind of thing where they're promised to have their logo, they get association with trusted institutions, which boosts their image. Those sorts of PR benefits is what we suspect that they're really after.
I just also wanted to ask as well, I know there was a part of the report about Santos in Papua New Guinea. Could you sort of talk a little bit about that and how I guess targeting more vulnerable communities is a strategy for these big companies?
Look, it's absolutely a strategy, and it's absolutely, I mean, I find it tragic and disturbing. You've got a company that basically extracts the value from the land, so traditional landowners don't get that value. And then they give back, a pittance in the form of, a couple of grants for this and a bit of money for that in return. But these communities themselves are not getting any richer, and that's it's basically colonialism, at its finest, isn't it? It's taking all the value and giving tokens back. That is definitely what we're seeing, not just in Papua New Guinea, but, in areas of Australia and other areas of the world as well.
Yeah, well, it like you said, it is just colonialism taking place. But have Santos, are they also influencing kind of public perception in Papua New Guinea as well? Like, is that kind of something that's going deeper there too?
We have not examined that separately. All we can go by is what we can find online about what their activities have been. So we see things like Santos involved in, Tree Day, planting a tree, or, sponsoring schools and, slapping their logos on kids. I think they're doing literacy work with kids in Papua New Guinea. Some people might characterise that as altruism. I would maybe just pay more tax and give them the money so they can build their own schools. It's an indictment on the situation.
There's got to be something to say about the irony of it all as well. I mean, including the nippers and how that program is teaching kids to sort of respect beaches and oceans, and meanwhile Woodside and all these other companies are drilling into the ocean and causing ocean acidification and all this. It's just crazily ironic.
Yeah, in WA, you know, you've got reefs that have bleached for the first time because of, you know, heating oceans caused by burning coal and gas. Woodside's expanding. They've got huge polluting projects on the horizon in WA. You know, you better believe they're not putting that in their promotional materials about how these beaches are at risk. And some of the beaches will disappear. It's as simple as that. You know, they won't be able to swim at those beaches, you know, not to mention the fact that it's going to be hideously hot in WA.
You're listening to a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned to hear the rest of your 3CR podcast.
Welcome back to the Climate Action Show on 3CR 855 AM. This episode is about the report from Comms Declare titled From Cradle to Career, which looked into the influence and sponsorship of major coal, oil and gas corporations in early childhood settings. We just heard from Belinda from Comms Declare, and now we're going to hear a conversation I had with Nick, the CEO of Parents for Climate.
I really want to know what parents think and feel about this. So actually first, maybe if you could walk me through Parents for Climate and sort of what the organisation does, and then sort of talk about the involvement that you had in this report and sort of the response from parents about it.
Yeah, sure. So Parents for Climate is a national group, a grassroots group of mums, dads, grandparents, carers who are concerned about climate harm and want to see the best climate policies in place for the benefit of our kids and young people. And we are really proud to work with Comms Declare on getting this report seen and acted on. And we have heard countless anecdotes from our community all across the country about the way that fossil fuel companies are appearing in schools and sports clubs and in ways that parents don't feel like they get a say or any control, but feel very uncomfortable about. And it's partly because they can see the contradiction of, you know, what these companies are doing in terms of creating pollution, whether it's oil, gas or coal companies, but also the way in which they are, you know, in the worst of circumstances, potentially greenwashing their brands by using our kids and their spaces for learning and play. So yeah, very uncomfortable situation that a lot of parents find themselves in, and I've lost count of the number of people who've brought those examples to us.
Yeah. Could you walk me through some of, like, one or two of the anecdotes sort of more specifically?
Yeah, so, I mean, the report's very good at outlining quite a few, and I think the big shocking revelation in the report is just how big this is. I mean, we're not even sure that the report has done a objectively comprehensive analysis. This is just what we could be found by Comms Declare. But it's big, and we're talking about millions of dollars, you know, hundreds of examples, and spanning over like a very significant number of years. We're aware of examples like when parents have been visiting the Queensland Science Museum and have been telling us how overt and problematic some of the sponsorship from Shell has been. We've seen it in the Woodside Nippers program in Western Australia, where, you know, parents rightly want to involve their kids in surf life saving and surf education, but can't do so without a Woodside logo on their kids' materials and on their participation. And yeah, I think a lot of people are uncomfortable about these things. We've had examples of, particularly in Western Australia, where I can't remember the name of the mining company, I'd have to dig this out. But essentially, kids were being shown how to prospect for resourcing using, you know, Vegemite and white bread, as a way of sort of like turning it into a fun activity, but not being told that the extraction and production and utilization of those resources creates all sorts of costs, whether it's environmental externalities or health risks, and that it's a kind of economic concentration that is a problem for the society in Western Australia. If, you know, we're transitioning away from coal and gas, a lot of these communities are going to be left high and dry, and these companies are essentially whitewashing and effectively greenwashing it by making it look like there's no environmental issue to see here. So yeah, this is it's come up quite a bit. I think, you know, it's understandable that people might want to sponsor things that kids love and are involved in, that companies might want to get behind local communities. But in some ways it creates a dependency and a conflict of interest, and, you know, puts communities in a really difficult position where they are effectively being bought or silenced from criticizing the industry. And yeah, kids, you know, they're too young to necessarily know what all of the more kind of pernicious effects of this could look like, but being brought up with a set of conditions being dictated by industrial interests, which, yeah, is problematic, because they're going to get to a stage where one day, and we're hearing about this more and more, as kids get into high school and even in university, they're only just starting to find out what the reality of our climate challenge looks like. And that can be quite confronting. And that's the converse of this, is that we're not just, you know, potentially deceiving and misleading kids and families and communities, but we're also leaving them without answers and understanding and skills and equipping them with how to deal with the challenges we're facing in the future.
And I think as well, like you said, it's sort of creating this conflict of interest, but it goes a bit deeper than that, because, you know, there's an aspect of them controlling the narrative about climate change as well. And there's the report found that there was a lot of education around, you know, climate change being something that's quite an individual responsibility, and we have our carbon footprint, and there's not a lot of transparency about the role that fossil fuel companies have. So I guess my question is, how do we sort of start to change the narrative or sort of work against this big gas company narrative that climate change is caused by the individual, and that the sort of solution lies in adaptation, you know, rather than stopping any new coal and gas projects? How do we kind of contend with that narrative that's going on? I mean, we might not be able to sort of equally match the influence with money, but yeah, would you sort of suggest any way that we can kind of push against this influence on young kids?
Yes. Look, I think, and what we're working with comms declare on is looking for a level of oversight, starting with a Senate inquiry. We're asking for the federal government to actually look into this and take it seriously, because at a, you know, first step, we don't even know how big this is, how problematic this could be, and we want to understand the impacts. We want to get an objective view on it, because it's never been regulated, and it doesn't exist that anyone's got a very kind of holistic view on how much is this sort of corporate interest influencing and dictating the sort of sport and education and recreation conditions of children growing up in Australia. Mm-hmm. Beyond that, we'd want to make sure that it wasn't adverse to kids, and that it wasn't adverse to communities. And that includes not just, you know, whether they are being corralled into believing one thing or another, but also that they're being informed objectively, which unfortunately we know a lot of the companies named in this report are on the record as, you know, trying to detract, undermine, delay, or obfuscate on, you know, very established scientific issues like climate science, which is not something we can leave to them to be the judge of. Other than that, look, at the end of the day, kids deserve fair and free education. And that's something that, as a society, Australia, I think, holds very dear. We have very good quality education compared to the rest of the world, and that needs to be enshrined and protected in state and federal government action and attention if it can't be done without compromising to the self-interests of, fossil fuel extracting and exploiting companies, then we've got another problem, and that is that we're not investing the resources that are adequate to prepare fair and free education for every child. So that's a gap that just ultimately would need to be closed. And so if there's a sports club or a childcare center or a preschool that's basically saying we couldn't exist without this, then, well, yes, they can. We have a very significant federal and state budget portfolio that exists to provide those things and should be being directed to where it's needed, so that fair and free education is available for everybody, including things like opportunities in sport, opportunities for early learning. This is just, I think, if it was any other industry that had the same level of potential harm on children, like tobacco or alcohol, gambling, like everyone would be kicking off. Mm. But as a less obvious issue, I think people maybe have sort of let it go for a very long time. And in some circumstances, like in the Hunter Valley, you've got mining companies that are splashing cash on local preschools, like in Hunter Valley operations. And those preschools should be receiving full funding regardless. They shouldn't need to depend on and become voices that are under the thumb from coal mining. It's just, it's very uncomfortable. It's very it's unethical. And ultimately, it wasn't good enough for anyone when tobacco was doing it, and it shouldn't be good enough for anyone when coal, oil and gas are doing it.
I think there is a sort of certain element of climate change has often been regarded as kind of a future problem. And so there's not that, I guess, closeness or nearness or pressure to like what would be a tobacco company. But it is really upsetting because the kids now are going to be the ones that are experiencing the long lasting effects of it. And they're the ones that are not just sort of being told a narrative by these fossil fuel companies, but they're also like not being equipped to be able to, adapt and deal with it. And I think one of the things, and I was speaking to Belinda about this, is it's not just sort of changing the, I guess, because if fossil fuel companies, they're influencing education in this way. And one thing that stuck out to me in the report is that they're putting the kind of blame or responsibility on the individual, but that is something that you can kind of unlearn and I guess in a way re-educate yourself on when you get a bit older. But the sponsoring sort of sporting programs and like these NIPPAS programs, I mean, these are real sort of places for community belonging and for kids to kind of, be with, their friends and to feel like they're doing something important. And I think this maybe has more of an impact on kids. So, what do you sort of think that the impact, I know this is not something we can really measure, but what do you sort of have to say about the impact of that on kids?
Essentially, what I'm worried about, this is me as a dad, with my kids growing up in this world, is that essentially I'm worried that we are manufacturing consent, that we are brainwashing our kids into believing that there's nothing to see here, and that when they are confronted with issues like what to do about climate change or a warming world or all of the impacts from costs to extreme weather events, they don't think about holding these companies to account. They think, oh, that must be my problem to solve because I've been brought up to believe that these companies are doing good and that they're working in my interest, even if that's somewhere really deep down in a way that we don't get to think about and question. That's what I'm worried about, and I'm worried that we have led our kids astray if we are leading them to believe that what these companies say is all you need to know. That's not objective. That's not fair, and it is potentially a form of propaganda that might ultimately lead to a weakening of democracy and a weakening of holding these companies to account for the harms that they've caused by creating pollution that is ultimately going to affect our kids the most. And so it's with a kind of dark irony that these companies are showing up in the spaces where the youngest Australians are trying to play and learn, because it's those people, those little people, who are counting on us to create a safe future for them. And these companies are, well, the conflict of interest is being generous. I think it's possibly devious, and I want to make sure we get to the bottom of it. And I think it is a problem for democracy if our education and information is being supplied and controlled by, you know, some of the most problematic and polluting industries, which are often some of the most profitable companies in Australia as well. And so they're making these huge profits. They're keeping communities, you know, in one particular mode, whether that's, you know, satisfied and not asking difficult questions or trying to support, you know, alternative economic futures, or whether that's just keeping them misinformed, which is possibly the worst situation. And so people start to question whether climate change is really happening, when it's already happening and it's happening to them in ways that they may not fully appreciate, whether that's rising insurance premiums or, you know, just causing supply disruptions all around the world. And I think, yeah, a lot of young people are going to grow up and ask, where were you guys? Like, what happened? Why didn't you get on top of this? And I think a lot of young people, particularly those, you know, in the teens and going on to leave school, are feeling frustrated, are feeling all sorts of frustration about the fact that their generation is being left with the cleanup of those who are currently holding the chips, those who are, you know, in power, whether that's in the boardrooms or in government. So, yeah, this is an issue that is, if you like, emblematic of the much bigger picture, which is, you know, who's actually acting in whose interests and in what level of, like, urgency and accountability. And I think, you know, young kids, they don't get to vote. They don't get a say in how the curriculum is put together. They just get to endure it. And I think it's on us as parents and members of society to actually call this out and say, no, that's not good enough. We do want to make sure we've got fair and free and balanced and objective resources available, not just to our kids, but to everybody. You want to walk into a science museum and be told what's actually going on with climate science, not being told that, you know, whatever Shell's version of events might be. It's frankly unacceptable. And in lots of other countries, this debate's happening as well. You know, I think we've seen, you know, soccer clubs in the UK have actually taken fossil fuel company logos off. We've seen museums like the Tate Modern, for example, actually drop BP, the oil company, as a sponsor. Like, it's possible. We can move past this and we can move through it. So, yeah, I'd really like to see that happen in Australia too.
So how do you think we should encourage not just parents but people to sort of take action in petitioning for better and more transparent and not corporately funded education, and also in sort of championing better climate action more broadly?
Yeah, look, we are running a petition that we will actually take to the Senate, and we hope will be read out. So please, if you can, jump onto parentsforclimate.org and sign the petition to make sure that our kids are being treated fairly. We're working with Comms Declare. We hope to see this get up into a Senate inquiry. And why we're asking for a Senate inquiry is because that's when these companies can actually be hauled up in front of the senators and actually asked the difficult questions which they would otherwise want to avoid. So we're really keen to see that happen, and we think that's an important first step to get the measure of this problem and to start putting some sunlight onto this issue that's been happening in a way that no one's really got a full read on. But this report, this Cradle to Career report, is definitely the best estimate of how big it is, and it's huge. There's nothing I've never heard of another education program like it. Yeah, I'm a bit concerned that it's going under the radar.
Yeah, and it's concerning that this is sort of the first, like, it seems like it might have been going on for quite a few years as well, and this is sort of the first. I mean, it's great that there's now a report, but yeah, it's quite scary to think about how long it's sort of been going on for. And would you be able to tell me sort of some other recent things Parents for Climate have been involved in and are campaigning for?
Yeah, so outside of working on this one, we are really interested in making sure we're moving Australia and the world towards the kind of safe and secure climate that our kids are counting on us to get right. That looks like stopping the expansion of fossil fuels, coal and gas in particular, in Australia, and looking at putting in some effective and fair laws and policies that are actually going to bring pollution down in line with what scientists have recommended, even in their most conservative estimates. And Australia's got a lot of catching up to do, because we've been pushing coal and gas on the world for a long time. But as one of the only democracies in the big export countries, we've actually got the opportunity to reform and improve on that. The other side of that is that we also want to make sure we are replacing dirty industries with clean opportunities that our kids get to grow up in and enjoy as career opportunities and as part of the economic kind of opportunities for the country. That looks like expanding solar, and we're particularly interested in doing that in schools and childcare centres. We think that there's a unprecedented amount of renewable energy capacity by rolling out what we can onto school rooftops and early childhood centres, because that is not just going to be great for them in terms of reducing their costs, but it's also going to create a lot of clean energy, a lot of jobs, and actually help us get through some of the tougher months where, in the months ahead, for example, we have an El Nino summer that might prove to be one of the hottest and one of the most uncomfortable. And that's a safety issue, it's a health issue, it's a risk to life in some circumstances. So we want to make sure that's being handled appropriately in schools and childcare centres by providing clean energy that can reduce the cost of cooling and providing safe environments through air conditioning. So those are just a few of the things that we're working on. We are hoping to grow this movement and essentially start talking about climate change in real terms. I think a lot of people get lost in the science or in the economics, but like, let's put it in real terms. We're talking about the safety and security of our kids and our communities and the places that we love. And that's actually something everyone can relate to. So I'm looking forward to having the debate on those terms with more and more people.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Climate Action Show. Today's episode was about the report From Cradle to Career from Comms Declare, which looked into the influence and sponsorship of major coal, oil and gas corporations in early childhood settings. Thank you to Belinda from Comms Declare and to Nick from Parents for Climate for speaking with me.
This is coal. Don't be afraid. Don't be scared. It's coal. It's coal.
Tune in every Monday at 5 p.m. to hear the Climate Action Radio Show.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.